Welcome, ladies and gentlemen of the Army of the Night. Today we have Matt Papa with Inti Creates here with us. Thanks so much, Matt, for joining us. It's really good to meet you and have you here.
Oh, my pleasure, Mike. I'm glad to be here, too.
Here in the U.S., the Thanksgiving holidays are in full swing. So are you celebrating there in Japan?
I'm doing what I can. I'm going to do this coming weekend, I'm going to get together with a bunch of friends. A friend of mine, she's married to a guy in the Navy. So she can access the U.S. style supermarket that they have there. So she can get the big turkey and the stuffing and gravy and all the Thanksgiving staples that are very hard to get here normally. She can get those with a lot of ease. So we're going to have a proper Thanksgiving dinner just on the weekend because we're not off work Thursday. So we'll do it as soon as we can. So
I wouldn't imagine it'd be a Japanese holiday.
No. Ironically enough, we had one. We have a holiday this week. Yesterday, Monday, was the national holiday.
Really? What was it?
I'm embarrassed to say that I have no idea.
That's okay. So is it this time of year that you miss family back home in the States?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, my family back home is getting 30 people together for Thanksgiving dinner, so... it's always a bit of a bummer to not be a part of what your fans doing back home, but you make the most of it and we're going to have a good time this weekend. So no regrets.
Yeah. Well, you're not alone there in Japan, are you?
No. I had a lovely lady who, is here with me. So we're going to go together to our friend's place. There'll be a bunch of people there too. So, it'll be fun.
Well, that's cool. And then Christmas is on the horizon. I know everybody kind of celebrates Christmas, but my wife, she loves Japan and Japanese culture, and she told me that Kentucky Fried Chicken is kind of a thing there, that people like to eat Kentucky Fried Chicken for some reason on Christmas.
Yeah, the KFC thing, it's very real. people, you can literally reserve KFC meals in advance for Christmas Day because it's so out of hand on Christmas Day that it's hard to just roll up to KFC on Christmas Day and get what you want. So people will literally reserve their dinner in advance.
So is Colonel Sanders like Santa Claus in Japan or what?
Kinda.
That's so crazy.
A lot of the KFCs here have Colonel Sanders statues out in front of them, so I would not be surprised to have him dressed up like Santa Claus.
Yeah. Wow.
If you know where Akihabara, kind of the anime, there's a KFC there, and the Akihabara, Colonel Sanders is always dressed up in something pretty wacky, so I wouldn't be surprised if he's dressed up as old Saint Nick.
Is there any other holiday season stuff that's just different in Japan that we should know about, like KFC?
Well, there's you'd be surprised at how many amazing Christmas light displays that they have here in Japan. Some of the most amazing Christmas light displays I've ever seen in my life were here in Japan.
Really?
The coolest one I ever saw is one in Kobe, Japan, called Luminarie or something like that. And just the street up and that leading up into a park was just completely overwhelmed with the just insane amounts of Christmas lights, more than I've ever seen in my life. It was completely mind-blowing. The amount of Christmas lights there. And all over the place in Tokyo, too. I was just in Akihabara yesterday, and they already have, Christmas lights out near the station, and, a huge wreath, out in front of, the hotels and stuff. So it's already... Basically, since the day after Halloween, you've been seeing Christmas stuff pop up.
So Halloween, is that celebrated in Japan too, or is that just
it's becoming a lot more popular than it used to be. When I was here in Japan for the first time during Halloween 6 years ago, hardly anybody was celebrating it, or just a decent amount of young people were, people in their teens and 20s, but it's gotten significantly more popular each year, and now you see it everywhere now. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, which is cool, because Halloween's one of my favorite holidays.
Yeah, so. Mine too, man. I really dig Halloween.
So, yeah.
In the last update, they mentioned that costumes for Halloween will be shown in the November update if someone wore a bloodstained costume for Halloween, that they put that in there. So I don't know how many of those have been submitted to the Bloodstained Tumblr, but it'll be cool if someone put something out there. Did you dress up for Halloween?
I didn't, actually. The year before I did, I wore... Do you know what a kigurumi is?
Yeah, it's a full-body costume that's like a pajama thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife's got a Ryakuma one.
I wore a Pikachu one around Tokyo last year.
I can see that, yes.
Yeah, I wore a Pikachu one last year. That was fun. This year we just had a party at my friend's place, so we just kind of hung out. Certain parts of the city are just completely mental with how many people there and just how crazy it is. Shibuya, Roppongi are just completely overflowing with drunk people celebrating Halloween.
Man, you make Japan sound like a really fun place.
It's almost on Halloween in places like Shibuya. It's so crowded to the point where it can be hard to enjoy it sometimes. So that's why, this year we were just like, you know what, let's just chill and hang out with, you know, a smaller group. So that was fun. I was out there in the craziness last year, though, so. Yeah, there's good things and bad about both, so it was fun either way.
So, I understand that you're a pretty big Mega Man fan, is that right?
Yes, that is correct. I've been a huge Mega Man fan ever since I played Mega Man 2 when I was, 4 years old.
Yeah, Mega Man 2 was my first Mega Man as well.
I've been hooked ever since. My brother's friend brought it over to our house, and he left it in our NES, and he didn't come back for a week.
Nice.
And that was a life changing event.
Was that the one that on controller 2, if you had somebody hold down and another button or something, that you were invincible? Because I remember playing one Mega Man like that, and I'm like, hey, little brother, you hold this controller, and I'll play this.
I don't remember. I feel bad. Because I claim to know everything about Mega Man 2, but I don't remember if that's the case or not.
Yeah,
that was a life changer. It's been my favorite game ever since.
If you were to defeat a Mega Man villain and get some kind of arm cannon power, what would your power be?
Oh, man. Oh, dude, that's the best question ever. Because, what do you base it on? Pure power, usefulness in everyday life.
Yes, usefulness in everyday life.
Because there's so many weapons. I'm going to do a shout out to one of the Mega Man games that Lee developed, and because it's such a cool weapon, and you can use it for a lot of cool stuff. The black hole bomb from Mega Man 9. You know, you can create your own little mini black hole. When you take out the trash, boom, black hole bomb. There goes your trash. You got to clean some stuff up. You can do some good Samaritan stuff. You know, oh, this building's about to fall apart. There it goes. It's gone. There you go.
That sounds a little too dangerous. That Malcolm in the Middle episode where they're throwing stuff into the wood chipper and then they just get addicted to it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got to draw the line somewhere.
As long as they don't pull a Fargo and throw a person into the wood chipper.
Yeah. All right, so we recently had an update, and it was a design update from IGA. It's the shaders are being tried out, and we should see those soon, which everyone's been looking really, looking forward to.
Absolutely, yeah. The team's working really hard on those.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about what shaders are? Because I know that's just the way the game renders and the way it looks, but you can make a lot of visual difference with whatever shader styles you're doing. So what are shaders for those that don't know?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't call myself the hardened expert on the subject, but with just the way the game is being designed, the way you design a shader, which, basically it's almost I'm trying to think of it as compared to something an overlay. You have the base way the game looks, and then you put a shader on top, and it can really, really affect the way the game looks compared to without a shader or with, from one shader to another. So we're gonna put a few of those together, and then and that's what's so cool, that the backers will get to decide, what makes this feel the most Igavania, what makes this feel like that Igavania world.
Yeah, it's really cool that you guys are actually listening to the feedback. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, when you kickstart a project, that's you know, that's something at the core of what you do, mm-hmm. is, you know, you invite people to help you out in the project, and, you know, once you invite them in, you know, you can't just turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to them. So, you know, we're happy to work with so many passionate backers who help bring this project to life, so...
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. I mean, it was built into the Kickstarter campaign because, you know, there were certain tiers that you could pledge at that would allow you to make certain pieces of content for the game different.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And not only that, for those that can afford to make a good contribution like that, you know, the general communication seems to be really open, and we just really appreciate that.
Oh, it's my pleasure, you know, for what little I contribute to that, you know. I think that's the way it should be. You want to, you know, we genuinely appreciate all the support we've gotten for this project, and we want to do our best to make sure that everyone knows that.
Yeah, well, good job so far. Now, we just saw a bunch of backgrounds in that last update.
Oh, yeah, they look great.
Yeah, there was just, like, so many there that most of them were, like, covered up, and, man, I just want, like, a still shot of each one of them. But, yeah, that's awesome. I hope that in-game we can, like, maybe look through some of the...
When those are ready to be presented in their full glory, you know, I think you will see them in, yeah, as... you know, I a little tease never hurts there.
No, it certainly doesn't. yeah, they said that atmosphere is key for Inigivania, and the background and foreground have to work together. So that's another thing. They're matching these shaders up with these new pictures.
Oh, but... yes. Yeah, I mean, that really sets the tone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and if you look at, you know, Iga's work in the past, I mean, the tone just, like, the setting just felt perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like it, you know, there are so many little things that you maybe could have tweaked that could have just completely derailed that. And, you know, Iga always managed to hit those right on the mark every time.
Yeah, my favorite pictures were, there's some steps leading up to, like, this broken clock tower, and some of the
lights.
Right,
cool,
yeah, yeah, I know, those are my favorite shots.
Oh, I love it. I love stuff like that. I wish I was that creative.
Yeah. Also, in the update, they mentioned about filling out the surveys. If you haven't got your survey for some reason, or if you haven't filled it out yet, they can do so at orders@fangamer.com. They can just send an email, and they'll get them hooked up with that link to go ahead and fill their surveys out. And also, we have an easy way to share the Slacker backer with a nice small link. You can't forget this. It's igavania.com/back. So if you want to spread the word that, you know, to your friends, if they want to get in on some of the Kickstarter goodies that won't be available later, and get in on an excellent price, because you can get a digital copy of the game for pretty cheap right now if you lock it in. And again, that's igavania.com/back. Also part of the update, 26 characters now for your name in the credits. We had a little bit of a restriction on that before, but now you have 26 characters all to yourself. Yeah, and also, you know, they mentioned this show during the update, which I really appreciate, so thanks guys for doing that. And they even quoted Goob Sausage about Ben dropping Reality Beyond.
Yeah, he's good at that. But yeah, I mean, you guys do, you know, you put on a fantastic program, so I mean,
yeah, well, thanks for being part of it, man. I really appreciate it.
No, it's my pleasure. You know, I love stuff like this. This kind of stuff to me is genuinely fun. And, you know, you're going out of your way to keep everyone in the loop and keep everyone engaged. And, you know, we love it. I think it's the coolest thing.
Thanks, man. So Iga's still developing the story. Hopefully that means that he's got one of those far-reaching stories that maybe just it just draws you into that world more and more. And we'll hopefully set up some sequels and make this this legacy extend out for a few more games.
Yeah, that would certainly be cool. Knowing just how creative a guy Iga is, you know, I have no doubts that this is going to be a deep, engaging story, knowing what he's capable of.
Right, yeah. But with all of the great people that they have behind this game, I mean, they have some amazing talent. We have a big hitter coming back from previous works from Igavidian Games. We have Curry the Kid.
Shutaro Iida.
Yeah, he is joining the design team, and do you know what he's going to be doing for us? Is he going to be doing level design, enemy stuff, or...
To tell you the truth, I'm not entirely sure of the full scope of what he is going to do, but, you know, he's definitely... He's worked with Iga a lot in the past, and he's definitely a valuable guy to have around. So I know he will be, his talents and skills will be utilized to their fullest. To what exact capacity, I personally am not entirely sure yet.
Okay, well, he's got a heck of a track record. I looked up his game credits, and he started out with Lament of Innocence, doing enemy programming, Area of Sorrow. He was the chief programmer in that, so that's pretty hefty. Then, and that's also a really good game, too. Area is one of my favorites. Dawn of Sorrow, he was an enemy programmer in that. Portrait of Ruin, he was enemy programmer and scenario writer. Order of Ecclesia, he did enemy, and I don't know what it is, but gimmick programming? Maybe that's,
Yeah, I mean, that's, like, maybe some of the unique aspects to that game. That involved, like, you know...
Shinoa absorbing things. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like... maybe, yeah. I'm trying to think of maybe something that was more specific to that game, or something that, like, that's the image I'm getting, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, it's hard to know with such a vague word, like a one word in the credits, but... he was also the director for Harmony of Despair, and apparently he just finished up on both of the Metal Gear Solid 5 games, Ground Zero and The Phantom Pain, as the lead enemy NPC programmer. So I looked up his first credit, and it's Sexy Paradis, a 1996 arcade game. It's a shmup that it looks amazing. If I would have saw something
Herodias
like...
is a fun series. Those are some fun games.
Oh, so okay, so you're familiar with them, huh?
Yes, yeah. Herodias, it was much more popular here. You know, it's kind of that, you know, that old school 2D side-scrolling, like, shooter. You know, shoot 'em up. You know, if you know Gradius, the series Gradius.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's where, if you know it's Herodias, literally it's like parody Gradius.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of like that style of game, just very silly.
Yeah, it looked very fun.
Like, you'll have just, like, ridiculous enemies, and you get... I think, like, the main... Like, the little main character you play with, like, this little octopus dude. If you look the games up, you'll see. It's literally one of those shmups, just completely just kooky.
I looked up one of the YouTube videos for a playthrough on that, and at the end it has, like, this... They don't show anything too risky. But they do have, like, that little octopus crawling in bed with some woman that's apparently nude, and she's, like, scantily covered up with a sheet. But, yeah, the bosses in that game look hilarious, and, it's where you gotta start.
Gotta start somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that some of those games, they extend past the arcade, so I know that they hit some consoles, too.
Yeah, yeah, like Super Famicom or Super Nintendo, and, like, I know there's someone, like, I think there's someone, like, Saturn here, too.
Mm.
I know some of them are on Super Famicom, though, for sure.
Yeah, so in 1996, a kind of a risky Japanese game like that probably was pretty common in Japan, but, you know, we were in full swing of censorship and whatnot back then here in the States. there's kind of a cultural difference there, isn't there?
Yeah, I think that's changing a bit nowadays, but especially back in the earlier days, you would never see, like, sexy type of stuff like that. Right. Fly back home.
So you guys have a game called Galgun. Could you tell me a little bit about it?
All right. So Galgun is a series we came up with. The first game came out on the PS3 and 360, and we just released a sequel back in August for a PS4 and Vita. The best way, for those of you who have no idea what Galgun is, the best way I can describe Galgun is if you picture a rail shooter type of game. You know, so like a House of the Dead, Time Crisis style game.
Uh-huh.
So picture a rail shooter game crossed with a dating sim.
Hmm.
Yes. That won't digest for a second. Yeah. So.
Well, Iga's had some experience with some dating sims. He's kind of had a revolutionary one that he made that is super popular in Japan, right?
Yes.
So how can you have a dating sim that's a rail shooter? What are you shooting?
So, okay. So, and it sounds crazy when I explain it, but it's amazing. I love it. So the general idea of the story is, you know, you're some just kind of random Joe Schmo, normal, you know, portrait of normalcy guy. And, well, maybe a little down your luck, not having too much luck, you know, with love, and just kind of having a bad time. And a Cupid angel decides to, she's going to help you out, you know. You know, do what Cupid do best, right?
Well, she kind of screws up. And rather than... So basically, the way I can describe it is, instead of shooting you with one love arrow, you know, like they do, she unloaded that whole quiver. Just boom, 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 boom.
Is this an automatic, like, an automatic bow?
Kind of. Well, they're guns. They're love guns.
Oh, okay,
so to speak.
I see.
But yeah, if just imagine Cupid just going off the rails and unloading the whole quiver onto your backside instead of just one.
Okay, so this guy's gonna have a really lucky day then.
Yeah. So basically, you become the most irresistible person ever. You know, anyone who looks at you loves you. Doesn't matter. But there's a catch, and that catch is if you do not find your true love by the end of the day, you are doomed to be lonely forever. Even kitty cats and puppy dogs will hate you, you know.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Terrible.
Yes, yes. You have a bad time. So you know, just like you do when you play a dating sim, you know, you choose one of the main heroines and, you know, and then you pursue your true love. So, but the problem is every girl in the school is in love with you, too. But you can't, you ain't about that life. You need to find love, right? So... you use said love gun to keep those rambunctious other ladies away from you while you pursue true love.
What is a love gun?
You know, shooting with a love gun. You're not killing them, right? You're not hurting them or anything like that. But
so what comes out of the gun?
Hearts and magic.
okay. So this is obviously something that Cupid equips our hero with.
Oh, yes. Yeah, she hooks you up and... you know, you gotta keep the other ladies at bay while you pursue, you know, your true love. So instead of, you know, shooting you with guns or, you know, have zombies bite you or whatever, you know, you're getting assaulted by love letters and girls calling out to you and
blown kisses,
and
yeah,
hugs.
Okay.
And yes.
All right. So, is this, can I get this game? You said it was out on 360, and I've got a PS3 as well, so...
Those released only in Japan.
I knew there was a catch.
PS4 and Vita released only in Japan. However, an international release is happening.
All right.
For this game.
Okay.
You can thank me for that one.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. All right, we get to play Yoga.
You're very welcome. Yeah, that was a pet project of mine, and it's coming to life, and I'm very happy about it.
So is this going to be a series?
What we're going to do is we're going to release the PS4/Vita game. We're going to release that first, you know, and then depending on how it does, we can see about getting the first one out as well, or, you know, whatever else may happen. But for the time being, to start things off, we're going to release the second game, and we'll see how it goes.
What's the second game platform is going to be?
We're looking at PS4 or Vita, and just like we did here in Japan. And then we'll take it from there.
Okay. So Inti's been around for like 20 years or so. What other games have they done?
Well, yeah, like you said, Inti's been around since 1996. Gonna celebrate our 20th anniversary next May. First game we ever did it's a game called Speed Power Gun Bike. Unfortunately, a Japan-only game that came out for PS1 back in 98. The first game that we ever did that came out in North America, you may know, is a little game called Mega Man Zero.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, we developed the Mega Man Zero series, the Mega Man ZX series, Mega Man 9, 10, and now in more recent times, we put out our first self-developed and self-published game, Azure Striker Gunvolt, which came out on the 3DS and is now available on Steam as well. You know, I've been working on Bloodstained, Mighty No. 9. Keeping pretty busy recently. We're doing a sequel to Gunvolt 2 as well, so got a lot going on.
So can we talk a little bit more about Gunvolt?
Absolutely.
You said that was completely developed and published by you. So I kind of had the impression that Inafune was involved in that. Was he part of that project?
Inafune, he is the executive producer / action director. So he, you know, this is an Inti Creates game, but Inafune-san was nice enough to help us out and, you know, contribute some of his ideas and visions to the project as well.
All right. It's not a concept game, though, is it?
No, it is not a concept game. Developed and published by us at Inti, but Inafune-san was contributing to the project.
That's really cool. So this one is like, it's your first game that, you know, that you're kind of building the company on, having on its own two feet.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we've we've developed games for a long time, but we've never really had our own IP that was 100% us. Like, owned by us, published by us, developed by us, everything done by us. That's a first for us.
Yeah, it's one thing to be able to do something awesome like make a video game, but it's a completely other thing to make your video game.
Right. And, you know, even with Galgun, you know, where we have a lot of, you know, that's essentially made by us, but, you know, we work together with Alchemist here to publish that in Japan, and, you know, we're going to be working with another publisher to bring that to the West as well, so, you know, it's not just us in the equation. For Gunvolt, you know, it's all us, so, you know, there's a lot of firsts for the company when it comes to Gunvolt, so it's been really fun to be a part of that franchise and, you know, letting it grow and, you know, build Inti Creates. It's kind of like, Inti Creates' signature series and character. So it's been fun to work with that.
Yeah, and okay, so Alchemist was the publisher for Galgun?
Here in Japan, yeah.
Yeah, alchemy seems to be like a huge theme in Bloodstained,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so it sounds like you guys have had an Alchemist history before. All right, you're not unfamiliar with alchemy.
No, for sure.
So who is the main character in the Gunvolt series?
He goes by the name of Gunvolt.
All right, that's easy.
Yeah. He is a 14-year-old boy who's been bestowed power to manipulate and control electricity, and he uses that in all its badassery to vanquish his foes and kick lots of ass.
Well, that seems really cool, man. And one of Miriam's powers looked like it may have been inspired by his electrical powers. It's called the Voltic Chain.
Yeah.
And it was described as a non-demonic seventh ability.
Yeah.
Now, I've kind of looked into a little bit of Gunvolt stuff, and it sounds to be directly inspired. So, Azure Striker Gunvolt has a story that you guys recently just finished called Fleeting Memories.
Yeah, that's the... It's a side story that was done by the main writer for Gunvolt that I translated and kind of get some extra content and like a whole different story that's like completely separate from the main game.
Yeah, it really helps develop that world. They talk about the life wave and that, you know, there's like different categories that life forms fall on.
Right.
And people on the life wave that are higher up the ladder, they have more sensitivity to the supernatural and... so much so as they can, like, control fire and lightning and things like that. Right,
yeah. So basically, so you have, like, you know, a normal, completely average person might be, you know, like a 2 or a 3. And then, you know, like a all-star athlete might be, like, a 4. And then, like, you know, some, like, clairvoyant, you know, person might be, like, a 5 or a 6 or something like that. And then you have the seventh wave, which... the term septimal power, that's like the name of this abilities that these people have, comes from that seventh wave, which is where like these kind of, you know, people who have these like, you know, supernatural powers, like the ability to control lightning or fire, split themselves into two people and, you know, have control of magnetism, all kinds of stuff that characters in the series have. Those people are all, you know, born on that seventh wave of that life wave, so to speak. So that's where, if you've played Gunvolt before, that's where the term septimal power comes from.
Okay, so can we assume then that Miriam's Voltic Chain is a septimal power?
Perhaps. I mean, Gunvolt's got that ability, so...
All right, so yeah, it sounds like you guys are kind of tying your IP in with this.
Yeah, could be,
Does that mean that Miriam is more special as a human than just being cursed? Because, you know, we know that the curse has made her... you know,
right.
have these extraordinary abilities.
Right.
But on top of that, is she also like Gunvolt?
Perhaps she is.
All right.
Miriam may have some surprises that you may not expect.
So how long have you been with Inti Creates?
I have been here since last September, so a little over 14 months now.
How did all that come about?
When I was back in the States, I used to go to conventions and stuff all the time. And I've met some very amazing people in the industry by proxy of going to those events. And one of those people, through a whole long chain of events, that started off with meeting Keiji Inafune back many years ago at New York Comic Con. And, you know, meeting all other kinds of amazing industry people. along the way, up to crossing paths with my now boss. I always loved Inti Creates, ever since I played the first Mega Man Zero game. And, so when I came back to Japan last year, one day I just reached out to, the CEO, Mr. Takuya Aizu, and I just reached out to him one day. I was like, hey, I'm not sure if you guys are looking for anybody right now, but, I have this, XYZ, ABC, work experience, background, yada, yada. What Inti Creates need someone like me? Just kind of throwing it out there, see what happens, And much to my surprise and delight, he responded and said, actually, yeah, we are looking for somebody like you. Why don't you come on in and we'll talk?
That is like a dream. That is like
history.
What kind of fantasy is that? That you get to meet your heroes at a convention and then end up working in the game industry like that? That is amazing.
Yeah. If you would have told me a few years ago that I'd be doing what I am now, I would have called you crazy.
Man, that is so cool.
Truth is stranger than fiction sometimes, and if you aspire to work in the industry or any industry, not just video games, anything, I cannot stress enough how important it is to put your face out there, shake hands, meet the movers and the shakers and decision makers and people who make the industry work, and you never know where that could go. Having relevant skills and experience, all is very important as well, but I would say never underestimate the power of just making those connections and getting to know people who are in the industry that you want to work. And just making those personal connections with people can really go far.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you had him on last episode, Ben Judd. He's a super great guy. Can't say enough nice things about him. He gave me some good advice and helped me out a lot. So thanks, Ben. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, Ben has a lot of fans in the Bloodstained community.
Yeah, he's couldn't be a fan of a nicer guy. I love Ben. He's great.
Yeah. People are just about to start a petition to see if they can get some Ben Judd signed copies of Bloodstained when it comes out.
Wow. That's an honor.
So it sounds like your job there is really rewarding. Are there any other challenging aspects about, managing the public relations?
Sure. I mean, In my job, I have two working job titles now, which is assistant producer and international affairs coordinator. And that sounds very vague, I know. So what that means, essentially, is I wear a lot of hats here, which is fine because I love hats. I wear hats all the time. I do everything from PR to marketing to I run all of our English social media. I run our, international business contact. I meet with, Western developers and, people in the industry. I'm basically the English window to the rest of the world for Inti Creates. On top of translation work, localization work.
So you're involved in localization too. That's really cool.
Yeah, if you play on the Steam version of Gunvolt, there's a mode called Japanese Voice Mode, which was a feature that we put in there to put back in all the Japanese dialogue, like spoken dialogue that was not in the 3DS version, and for the English release. And in order to do that, we needed to redo a lot of the script because it needed to match up with the voices, the way it was presented. So I did all of that. I translated essentially the entire game by myself.
Wow.
that was a challenge.
Can we expect something like that for Bloodstained? I've seen people be like really passionate about trying to get the word out for getting a Japanese voiced version on the English game with like English subtitles.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't say for certain how that's all going to pan out. But if I encourage you, if that's something that fans want, I encourage you to make that known.
When you watch anime and it's subtitled, you get the the Japanese original art form that episode was.
Right.
It's not. Yeah. So I think that voice acting, it's really important to some people. And, some shows are just better that way. And I think a video game like Bloodstained could be.
Everyone's got their own tastes. You will always find people who like
subtitled versions better. You always find people who like dub versions better. But, you know, I think there's obviously great things to be said about both. So, you know, we'll see how it all comes together in the end. But, yeah, there's definitely value in retaining, you know, a script and, you know, a story in its original form, the way it was originally meant to be presented. I think there's merit on both sides.
Yeah, absolutely, because there's some stuff like, I know this is silly, it's kind of viewed as a kid's show sometimes, but Sergeant Frog is one of the, I love that, and the English dubbed version, the announcer in that, he has to be taking some liberties to make these jokes more hilarious to our pop culture in America.
Yeah, and there, if you ever watched Shin-Chan, it's the same thing with that, you know, the jokes are so different. I actually think the dub version of Shin-Chan is funnier than the Japanese version.
And then, you know, sometimes if you're going to watch a series twice, maybe you watch the subtitled version once.
Right.
Even when you watch a subtitled version, are they being true to the Japanese translation, or are they still throwing in, you know, that localization twist?
I guess it depends on who does it. I think in, like, earlier, like, anime and stuff, it wasn't always as true to the original dialogue. Maybe take, like, a few little liberties. Like, usually stuff wasn't, like, completely changed around. But, like, I've gone back and watched some things. I don't remember what specifically. That's not exactly what they said, but, okay. You know, now that I have that knowledge of Japanese, sometimes it's just completely, completely different for whatever reason. I don't know. But I think more recently that a lot of stuff has been produced or localized in a bit more and more true to the original than maybe it used to be in the past.
Okay. Well, that's cool. So you said that you were like the window to the English version of Inti Creates. We get to see Inti Creates through you. All the Facebook posts, all of the tweets, that is that always you?
Guilty as charged. Guilty as charged on all accounts. Literally every bit of English communication that you would hear from us is done by me.
Okay. So on Mighty No. 9, there was a rapper at the end of the credits, and I happen to be a huge fan of this guy. I've been a fan of his music for a long time. His name is Mega Ran. I've talked about him on the forums and stuff already. He takes video game music, like Mega Man music or Castlevania Symphony of the Night music, and he'll use that music and make a beat out of it. He'll spin a beat, and then he'll throw rhymes on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was really pleasantly surprised to see it at the end of Mighty No. 9.
Yeah.
Is there any chance that maybe we can see some Random on Bloodstain?
Oh, that would be awesome. I've known Ran for many years now, and he's a friend of mine, and you could not meet a nicer person than Mega Ran. He's the genuinely one of the genuinely nicest people I've ever met in my life. And I love him to death. And last time he was in Tokyo, I got to see him. And
that wasn't too long ago, man. He just had a tour there.
We did some. I got the pleasure of going to karaoke with him.
No, oh, that's so cool.
Oh yeah,
I got
fun.
To meet him
that
once after a concert. No, I got to talk to him really more before the show, but we talked to him a little bit after the show too. But yeah, he was super nice. And
couldn't be a nicer guy.
Yeah, he played like this. It was like a small show for him, and they dropped his modified NES, and it didn't break. But my God, they can't drop his equipment like that.
No,
but and the turnout was small, man. But I tell you what, it was one of the best concerts I've ever been to.
He's great. I've seen him countless times, and I will always see him again as long as I am able to. He's a master of what he does, and so glad that he was able to be a part of my number 9 campaign. I love the track he did, and as to if we'll see him in Bloodstain or not, we'll see what happens. But
well, he knows about Bloodstain because I tweeted him and I asked him like when it was going, when the Kickstarter was live, did you back this? And he was like, yeah, of course I did. So he is aware of the game.
He definitely is.
So I actually got a phone call from none other than Konami themselves. It was in response to something I had faxed them. I wanted to ask them permission to use Castlevania music on this show. Bloodstained has some DNA from Iga's previous games, so I wanted to kind of maybe lead in with something like that. And, of course, I didn't want to do so without asking permission, and it just took them, you know, over 2 months to get back to me. But they did get back to me, and they said that no one would care if I used the music. They can't give me explicit permission, but they said that the chances for anybody even noticing would be really low. And I don't know if that's because they think that this show won't be heard by anyone, or if they just don't care about their IP like that. But, it wasn't really permission, but, you know, after I made the first show, I was like, I really don't need any of that music anyway. I've got plenty of great music from the fans. The fans are killing it with these remixes.
Oh, yes, they are. They're fantastic.
There's this artist named Ann History, and I'll include his music in the background here, but he has made an accordion cover, and it is awesome.
Holy crap. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, I'll link to it so you guys can check it out,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, please do. That's great.
Yeah, there's been a lot of great remixes. Kantar, they've been a Bloodstained follower from the beginning, and they've got a couple of songs, too, that they've done, like a harpsichord version and another version. And it's really good, too. I'll include that as well. But, yeah, man, the music is so important to me for a game like this. Hearing Epo's track, it just blew me away. I was like, holy crap, this is going to be awesome. This is exactly what I'm looking for. Now, he's got his own band, right?
It's Triple I. So what Triple I is, that's essentially the name of the Inti Creates sound team.
Okay.
I wouldn't say it's like a band per se. Believe it or not, a lot of like sound teams who work for like game companies here in Japan have like their own name. Almost any decent sized developer that has their own dedicated sound team here will have like their own like special name.
All right. Do they have their own albums that aren't included on video game music, like stuff that they just jam on that they've kind of put together in its own place we can listen to, or is it just all game music?
Not officially, yeah. I mean, so anything that's done by III is done by our sound team for the games we develop.
I see. Okay. I was just looking forward to hearing more Ippo Yamada, to be honest. But that's okay.
Yeah,
we should encourage him to start his own band.
Right? That would be cool.
Yeah. You know, that Konami office that called me, I think that they've just recently been shut down. I know that they closed one office in California, and the call did come from California, but
yeah,
I know that they've got another office.
Yeah,
there's another office. They have a L.A. office or something close to L.A.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, not everyone was fired. They can relocate there, but, you know, who wants to relocate? So I don't know if they'll even be interested in that.
Take my word for it. It's hard.
Yeah, you would know about relocation, right?
Yeah.
Especially in a country where where everyone speaks different language than your native language.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is that really hard, or is your understanding of Japanese so good that it's just like not an issue?
I mean, I'm not perfect like native speaker level, but you know, it's, you know, there's two ways you can really look at it. You know, if you look at it as like a challenge to overcome, and especially if you have like a desire to learn the language, there's no better place to be than in the country where you learn or where they speak that language.
Absolutely.
So that immersion essentially is, there's no better way to learn a language in my opinion than immersion. And it's done wonders for me personally. And, but you know, that's if you want to learn. If you don't want to learn and you just don't care or whatever, you know, it can be really taxing and really just difficult to, you know, get by, you know, especially in, you know, with Japanese, you know, you'll find some like street signs and, you know, signs in like train stations and stuff that will have some English text. But generally speaking, you know, you're not, especially outside of Tokyo, you're not going to find any English text really. And for the most part, you know, where you need it, you know. You know, Japanese has its own system of writing. So if you can't read that, it's not like, say, like, if you speak English, it's not like, say, like, Spanish or French or Italian or something like that, where you could at least try to sound it out. You may not get it right, but you could at least try.
Right.
You know, whereas with Japanese, if you can't read the characters, you literally have no idea.
So when did you start learning the language?
I taught myself a little bit in high school. We bought a Japanese dictionary at the bookstore and just did what I could with it. And,
cool.
And when I went to college, I'm from New Jersey. The one I went to, only had like up to like intermediate level Japanese.
So I took all those, and I did a semester abroad in Japan. That was the first time I was here back in 2007.
And then when I graduated college back in 2009, I did a year in Japan working as an English teacher, which is a really cool experience. And I learned a lot of Japanese then. And then I came back last year and I just learned more. And especially working at a Japanese company, I'm the only native English speaker. I'm one of two foreigners here. So, you know, I have to use Japanese all the time at work for everything, essentially. So, you know, that's that's really good for improving your skills. And yeah, I'm learning new words all the time. So it's done wonders. It's honestly done wonders for my own language ability, just being surrounded by it all the time at work where you have to use it.
Yeah, man, that sounds really cool. I tried to learn a little bit of Japanese, but it didn't get very far because I just wasn't keeping up with it. If you stop doing something like that, you know,
it's hard. You know, learning any language is tough. You know, I was a linguistics major in college. I studied this stuff, and I think it's fascinating, but it's at the same time, you know, learning, you know, studying a half hour here and an hour there, and you know, it's really, really, really hard to maintain anything without like consistent use and practice. And that's why I always say immersion is so key, because if you live in Japan, you can't really avoid language. You know, you will see it when you go out, you will hear it, you will have to read it, you know, and that stuff just it goes a long way.
Do you have a lot of other English speakers that you can hang out with there?
Yeah, believe it. Well, especially in Tokyo. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I have friends from all over the world here in Tokyo.
Cool.
Tokyo is a very, you'll find people from all over the place, all walks of life. So it's really cool. I've met people from pretty much every continent besides Antarctica. So it's been really cool just meeting the international crowd here, you know, in addition, you know, all the people who are, you know, Japanese people who live here all the time. You know, it's been really cool.
Well, earlier you mentioned that you guys self-published Gunvolt.
Right.
And Bloodstained is being published by someone other than Inti Creates.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
So one of the cool things that I've seen you say about Inti is that anything published by you it's okay to use on YouTube or Twitch.
Yep.
Yeah, you've got no problem with that.
Not a bit.
That's one thing I was kind of hoping we could get for Bloodstained too, but it sounds like that's probably out of your hands.
Well, I mean, that's not something that, like, I can just decide on my own and make it so. There's more people who would be involved in that decision, you know, but that's certainly a conversation we can have at some point. But, you know, speaking for us as Inti, you know, I can't speak for, you know, Iga or anyone else, but you know, for our stuff, you know, stuff that is managed by us, yeah, you know, we encourage people to stream our games, to make videos about our games, to listen to our music, and put our music on in your podcast or your Twitch streams or what have you. Yeah, you're sharing the love. Who am I to complain about that?
Yeah, I think it's a process that can only help. But some people like Nintendo are just really a stickler about not using their stuff.
Every company has their own vision, and you know, I'm not going to call any other company's vision right or wrong, but you know, for us, you know, that's what we want to do, and you know, it works for us, and if it makes our fans happy, then we're happy too.
Someone like me is really unfamiliar with what it would be like to work in a game office like that.
Mm-hmm.
If I could be a fly on the wall for a day, what would it be like, you know, to see everybody working, who does what, and you know, what's it like around there?
The Inti office, you know, it's not super big. You know, it's not like a, you know, giant complex or anything like that. It's pretty standard size office. We have about 90-ish people working between the main office here and in our branch office in Nagoya. So here at this office, I'd say there's like 70-something people here, something like that.
That sounds like a lot more than, that sounds like a lot of people to me.
But you know, you also gotta remember that we work, you know, we're not just working on Bloodstained, we're working on multiple games at once. So when you work on, you know, 3, 4, 5 plus projects at any given time, you know, you need that many people to keep up with what's going on. But you know, you have your programmers, and you have your, you know, your graphics people, and then you have, you know, the planners and the writers and, you know, the pixel artists and 3D modelers, and then you have more like the managerial staff, like me and my comrades who, you know, are doing, you know, the businessy side of stuff, or, you know, producers, and it's a whole different mix of people doing, you know, all different kinds of work. And, you know, what I really like about the office here is that, you know, the atmosphere is very, you know, kind of open, and, you know, nobody's chained to their desk, and, you know, people will get up and, you know, go ask people questions and talk about the project. Lines of communication are always open, and, you know, it's just a very, you know, everyone has, you know, that, like, yeah, let's all do our best to, you know, make the best game we can kind of workmanship mentality. So it's really cool to be a part of.
That's awesome, man. So Inti Creates, it sounds like you guys are building a legacy with Gunvolt, and you're trying to tie that into Bloodstained. So can we expect Inti to create all of the future Bloodstains if there are more games?
That would be cool. that would be nice. You know, I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, but I know I personally would love to work on more Bloodstained games, so see how it all comes together later on, but I think it would be really cool.
So, company-wise, how does Ego work with Inti Creates? Does he have his own team? Like, does he have his own company now?
So Iga works for a company called ArtPlay, and so Iga is not an employee of Inti Creates. So when he comes here, you know, he'll come and he'll have meetings with the different teams, and, you know, he'll look up, you know, he'll come check out stuff, what's going on, and, you know, he's here, you know, we see him a lot, and, you know, he's very plugged in with what's going on here, so he's always informed and knows what's going on, and, you know, can, you know, voice, make his voice heard in the whole process. So, you know, he's very involved.
Will the community manager be an employee of Iga's, or is that an Inti thing?
I'm not sure exactly how they're going to be situated, but I can tell you that they will not be an Inti Creates employee. You know, I'm not exactly sure how their whole situation is going to go, but I do know that they will not be an Inti Creates employee, that much I know.
How can we buy Inti's games?
Right, so, so you have Azure Striker Gunvolt, and it's 8-bit style D-Make Mighty Gunvolt that are available on both 3DS and Steam, so you can get either of those there. Mighty No. 9 will be out in a few months. You can get that on every platform ever. so you got your pick of the litter for platforms there. Galgun is coming to the West next year sometime, I'd imagine. So, you know, we're going to get that available as soon as we can, and you'll be able to get that on, you know, PS4, Vita, and who knows what else. What else we got? And then, you know, other games that we've worked on in the past, you know, those, I think a lot of those are available on, like, Virtual Console and stuff like that. And so, yeah, I mean, if you really want to support Inti Creates, you know, especially Gunvolt is definitely, you know, it's a pure Inti Creates game. It's a, you know, 2D action side-scrolling, you know, game. That's what we've done the most in our career, you know, as a company. That's what we love to do. And, you know, it's a very Inti Creates game, you know.
Yeah. So if we become big fans of Gunvolt, can we buy some merchandise for that?
Yes. We currently have some swag available through our partners at Level Up Studios. There, we have pins of each character in the game. They're really, really nice. And so we have those, and then a t-shirt and a zip-up hoodie that are available for Gunvolt. And then, you know, we'll see what new Gunvolt merch comes up in the future. And, you know, we'll have Galgun coming out, and so we'll see what we can do with that. And but for right now, yeah. you can definitely get that stuff anytime.
And that's a website we can get that from?
Yeah, levelupstudios.com.
All right.
And if you can just look for the Gunvolt stuff, you'll find it.
Gunvolt recently had, like, a speedrunning contest. How did that go?
Oh, it went great. We worked with Speedruns Live and Games Done Quick. You know, I'd say the two, you know, authorities on the whole speedrun community. And yeah. We put a really cool contest together. And, it was a lot of fun. We had some incredibly talented players. And one guy goes by the name of Cool Kid online. He from Sweden. He was our winner. And, you know, the grand prize, he's actually going to be flying out to Japan for a few days. And
that's a pretty sweet deal, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So that'll be fun. And, you know, anybody who works with those, you know, like Games Done Quick and stuff like that, you make a charity donation. The charity that we donated was called Second Harvest. And they're the first food bank ever established in Japan. And so, you know, since we're a Japanese company and, you know, we want to keep things local, and we found these guys and they do some really cool stuff. So we decided to make our donation there. And yeah, it was nice to be able to give back something while you have such like a cool event going on.
Yeah, it's both fun and generous.
Yeah,
I'm sure
cool.
It was very much appreciated.
Yeah, it was great.
So is speed running, is that actually programmed into the game to where it'll time you and
yes.
like, maybe you can
yes.
pause it and stuff?
Yeah, the Steam version of Gunvolt has, it's called speedrun mode, and it's exactly as you pretty much just described. It has a timer. There's certain settings that are in place for speedrun mode, so everyone's playing under the same circumstances. So, yeah. Like, you have, like, the same equipment, you know, certain features are disabled to make it more fair.
We actually have a new, in the most recent update, we have a new setting for speedrun mode that, you know, rewards, you know, playing through the game without getting hurt.
Oh, right, a no damage mode, sweet.
So the more enemies you defeat without taking damage, the stronger you become.
Huh.
And, like, your attacks become more powerful and, like, all that kind of stuff, so it's really cool.
I'm really liking I haven't speedrun any game. I'm just not that good of a player of anything, really.
I don't either. I love games, and I'm good at some games, but I'm not... I see what these guys have done, like, during the contest. I'm like, yep, I'm not going to be able to do that.
Right. Well, it's still really fun to watch, though. Even if I can't
oh,
do
great.
It, I'd
yeah.
like to see, you know, that, like, you know, that... I know if I'm playing this game that I don't have to take damage. There's a way to do this, and I can go and look at it and make mm-hmm. maybe make my game a little bit better.
You see people just, you know, just master these games, and you're just like, wow. You know, it really kind of opens your mind to what being good at a game really is.
Yeah, yeah, that's really true, and it's super fun to watch, too.
Yeah.
A lot of games are including, like, a Twitch streaming right out of the box.
Yeah, I mean, it's become such a big part of the gaming culture nowadays that, you know, if we have the means to, I see no reason not to. I see no reason not to do something like that. If, you know, it's appropriate for your game and you have the means to do it. You know, the live stream community is so vibrant and so big, and, you know, you'd always be doing yourself a disservice if, you know, if your game is able to be speedrun or, you know, just live streamed in general. And not really make it easier for them if you can.
So, can we expect some speedrunning in Bloodstained then for that? For there to be some programming support on that?
I can't speak if there's going to be programming support and how that's going to go, but I certainly would imagine that some people will be trying to speedrun it in some way, shape, or form, and I look forward to seeing that when it happens, for sure.
As do I. So I asked several different places around the web if they had any questions for Inti Creates. We'll start out with questions from the official forums. Motoko asked, what is the most challenging aspect of being a PR manager? And also, is it difficult to balance being both a PR manager and assistant producer for Inti Creates?
So with the assistant producer part of my title, I'm the assistant producer on the international version of Galgun. So I'm going to be making a lot of decisions and be very involved with that process. As it, you know, as the game gets, you know, ready to be released to the West. So that's kind of where that goes. So, and, you know, and there's parts of being, you know, and that's the thing. I'm not just a PR manager. I do a lot of things with the company, but being in charge of the PR and really being the face of the company, it's really cool. 'Cause you know, you could deliver the message in the way that you feel is best. But at the same time, you know, it's, you know, managing a fan base and managing a company's reputation and just being that voice, you know, you really, there's not a whole lot of room for error, really. So, you know, it can be tough to balance all these things that you're responsible for and, you know, just to make sure that the message is delivered in the best way and delivered right. And, you know, so, you know, there's always challenges involving because you want the fans to always be happy. and satisfied with what you're doing. And, you know, in a perfect world, that would be true 100% of the time. But, you know, there is no such thing as a perfect world. So, you know, it can be, you know, you just got to make sure you're representing the company in the best way possible. And, you know, just kind of, you know, making sure that the messaging that you want to deliver is on key and on point. And
right,
you know, that
right.
You're not alienating your fans or, you know, putting out, like, dodgy information or anything like that, so...
Redogan on the forums says, since Bloodstained is spawned from Castlevania, do you think that Bloodstained will benefit from being tied to it, or will it hurt Bloodstained's potential? Will the public be able to separate the two, or will it always be referred to as, like, a Castlevania spiritual successor? As the game comes together, do producers have to walk a fine line between that series and its elements and Bloodstained? And they imagine that it's hard to be a spiritual successor game without being a Castlevania game.
I mean, yeah, I mean, we obviously have people who've worked on that series in the past, and, you know, that was then and this is now. And I think, you know, Bloodstained is Iga's vision, and he's assembled an amazing team to put all this together. So while I can obviously see where people are coming from, you know, Bloodstained will be its own standalone thing, and is, you know, if the fan base from that series, you know, embraces it and enjoys it, then that's wonderful. I don't think people will have trouble separating the two, you know, because it has its own identity, it's its own game. Bloodstained will very much stand on its own two feet, and it will be an amazing game. And I'm not really all too concerned about any of that stuff.
Neither am I, man. I think that it's already got its own personality, and it's going to be great. I can see that it's got the potential to start something like the other series started so long ago.
Sure, absolutely.
So, another question. This would be the first game Iga has done on such powerful systems. Can you speak to the quality of the visuals in Bloodstained? Is there someone in place who does quality assurance with respect to HD visuals? They say, I don't doubt the ability of the artists involved, but I feel like there should be someone in charge of making sure the graphic quality is where it needs to be once the art is put into the game.
Oh, I can assure you that there are plenty of eyes on everything that it gets done. yeah, you never have to worry about something like lack of oversight or anything like that. Yeah, like I said before, Iga is very hands-on and involved. You know, he's very much a part of the process, and you know, he's the final decision maker. And I assure you, if it is not up to his standards, then it will be worked on until it is. So I would not worry about that in the slightest.
All right. So, Crocodile had a few questions, but I think the one we can ask here is, in general, what is the team doing right now in this pre-production phase? Perhaps some insight into the sorts of conversation being had and ideas discussed.
The Bloodstained team is very busy, and, you know, with the programmers and stuff like that, you know, they're a whole different beast from what I do personally, you know, since I'm not a programmer or a computer graphics guy. It's hard for me to speak on, like, oh, they're programming this, you know, function of that or what have you. I can tell you that they're very busy. And they're working very hard. And, you know, like I said, we have the shaders that we're going to be getting ready for the next update. So, you know, they're working hard on those and, you know, just building the game, essentially. So, you know, like I said, you're going to have to set the table for everything that's going to come later. And, you know, like I said, we got the shaders coming out. So, you know, they're getting those ready. So they're plenty busy. I can assure you that much.
So Arthur6 asks, since the game is 2.5D, the game will retain its side-scrolling in a full 3D environment. Will Miriam be a sprite or a 3D model? And we already know this, right? She's going to be a 3D model.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, just the way the game is designed, there's really no other thing that she could be.
What about in the retro stage?
Yeah, that'll be its own beast, but, you know, for the game itself, you know, that is what it is.
All right. A few people on the forums were asking about future conventions. Goop Sausage asks, even though Iga and Ben themselves are not going to any more conventions for a while, can we expect there to be Bloodstained con panels similar to the one at PAX Prime while game development is going on? If so, which one should we keep an eye on? PAX South takes place in San Antonio, Texas, and George Belmont on Facebook was also asking about PAX South.
I can't speak for Iga and Ben what their plans will be, but for us as Inti, at this moment, we are not planned to attend PAX South. There are, you know, we'll be at, like, definitely, like, bigger events, like, you know, E3 and GDC and stuff like that. But for next year, we're still kind of working all that out, like our convention schedule. You know, we went to a decent amount of events this year as Inti, which is really great. It was really nice to be able to get out there and meet fans and, you know, do panels and you know, exhibit your games and just get to know fans at these events. So that's been really fun for us. And I'm happy that, you know, as an English speaker and someone who's very familiar with a lot of these events, to be able to open up Inti Creates to that world. It's been really fun to be able to do stuff like panels and have, like, tables at, like, in, like, the dealers' rooms and stuff like that. So that's been really fun. But, you know, we're still getting our convention schedule for next year set up. But, yeah, we will definitely be at some. Yeah, you can always follow us on our social media.
What are your social media links?
We're on Twitter at Inti Creates EN. So, you know, Inti Creates English. So Inti Creates and then the letter E of the letter N. Facebook, we're on there as well. I try to update our blog on IntiCreates.com to the best of my abilities as well. Anytime that we're going to do an event, we will always post about it on our social media and blog and stuff. So stay tuned to those if you want to know, like, what events we'll be at and things like that.
Okay, Purify Weird Soul, he wanted me to mention the MAGFest at National Harbor in Maryland.
So oh, I love MAGFest.
Put that on your radar.
I love MAGFest.
Oh, okay.
I used to go there. I'm from the East Coast. I'm from New Jersey. So
yeah.
I've been to MAGFest many times, just as me, not as Inti Creates or anything like that. and it is hands down one of the most fun, you know, events of that type, you know, convention. They don't like me call it a convention. It's a festival.
Oh, it's a festival. Okay.
But, you know, it's...
Well, it's called... Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's called MAGFest.
Right,
MAG
exactly.
Con.
And it's just such a good time. I've met so many cool people there, so many amazing concerts. Super, super, super good time. So we'll see. We will see.
We had some questions from the Castlevania Dungeon.
Sure.
And the plot twist. They're actually the ones that made that Miriam sprite and my favorite candle skeleton gif that Jim animated.
Oh, cool.
I mentioned that last episode.
Yeah, cool.
They asked, since Bloodstained is falling more or less on the Castlevania formula for monsters, fantastic creatures from myths all over the world and enemies, I want to know if they have any plans on adding any creatures from the Brazilian mythology.
Hmm.
And if they're thinking about it but don't know what creature it would be, I suggest the Mula Sim Cabeca? I think I'm saying that right. Headless Mule. This creature is pretty much the face of Brazilian folklore. And he says, I ask this because Iga has expressed before an interest on this specific monster but has had no chance to use it. Now with Bloodstained, it might be the time. So... I don't know if Matt's the best person to ask that. Iga would probably be the best person.
Yeah,
to
I
ask
mean,
that.
I have no Iga's knowledge of monsters in that world. I'm sure is quite extensive. So, I couldn't say definitively yes or no. but I'm sure he's aware of it, as you said. And yeah, we'll see what happens. But I'm sure Iga's the monster repertoire he has in his mind, I'm sure is vast.
Anyways, yeah, so I guess it's possible.
We'll see.
Brazilian folklore will
shall
get its
see.
Turn.
Yes, we shall see.
So on Reddit, someone wanted me to ask you about replay value. And, well, we do have the roguelike dungeon mode, so that's probably going to add a good bit by itself.
For sure.
And then, you know, if people are speedrunning the game, that's going to add a whole new level of replayability. Is there anything else that we don't already know about that might add to some of the replayability?
Well, I mean, games of this nature, you know, the exploration, you know, types of action games, you know, there are so many ways. You know, if you look at Iga's previous games, there's many ways you can traverse a castle.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't always have to necessarily play through the same, you know, if you beat the game, you might necessarily do it the exact same way the next time.
That in of itself, I think, you know, makes the game very replayable. And, you know, and then, like you said, the roguelike dungeon, you know, you'll never get the same thing twice there. So that's what replay is all about.
Right, exactly. All right, so I ask the Well, Cecil Kane asked the Operation Akamajo group for questions for you.
Yeah, cool.
For the show, and we got lots of responses. I haven't listed all of them. If I haven't, sorry, folks. But I have got a lot on here, so thank you for your patience, Matt. Just
my pleasure. No, thank you for being such involved fans.
Yeah, they certainly are. Gunnar Voss asks, as far as game linearity goes, is Bloodstained going to be designed with deep secrets, large optional areas, and multiple ways to progress?
Yeah, well, I mean, to the exact extent, you know, I could not say. Knowing Iga, I think you can expect a lot of really cool stuff. I could not definitively say it will have X amount of secrets and X amount of large optional areas, but...
But we can pretty much assume that it's going to be an Iga game,
right.
So we'll
it's,
have to
it's
expect something like
his
that.
His biggest world yet, so
yeah, his biggest castle that yes. was also a stretch goal we
yes.
we met.
Yes.
So it's going to be a huge game.
Yeah, so take that for what it's worth.
With a huge game like that, there's usually more than one way to get around. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I would say that the linearity should be pretty close to what we can expect based off previous work. Jim McAfee says, one thought I had, maybe if Lindsay Sterling would like to contribute some music to Bloodstained. And for those that aren't familiar with Lindsay Sterling, she is on YouTube. She's a great violinist, and she does some pretty amazing music. But we already have a lot of really good composers on here. But I guess for the sake of Jim's question, are there other composers that are being considered? Can we expect more of a lineup in the music department?
Again, I cannot say for certain. You know, we have a pretty amazing team to begin with, but if they decide to work with others, I'm sure many people would listen. So, yeah, we'll see how it all comes together. But, you know, even with the team that we already have assembled, you're going to get some fantastic music.
Right. And, you know, try to get Megaran in there, too, I'm just saying.
A Bloodstained rap would be pretty amazing.
Yeah, we want to hear it, Megaran, you know, if you're listening, which probably not, but let us know, man. Let us know if you're going to throw a track down. Okay, Eddie Pagaza says it would be a great grinding system, you know, the more you use the sword type or the mace type weapon to do more damage. And then someone replied to that, maybe also a system which accomplishing certain challenges, you unlock new attacks. Not sure exactly what they're reaching here for, if these are a question, but it sounds more like a suggestion about the more you use a certain type of weapon, it does more damage, and unlocks new attacks.
Yeah, maybe like a proficiency system sort of deal, like, you know, like get levels up in sword, or level up in katana, or level up in, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever,
like whatever you use most.
Have. Right, yeah. That's a neat idea. We'll see what happens with the final version.
Okay. Christopher Trest asks, what is a man?
He's a pile of... what is he a pile of? I think he's miserable, maybe.
Could be miserable.
Yeah.
Pile-like structure. doesn't like to share information with people, I don't think.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Michael Aniag? Sorry, buddy, if I got your name wrong. Will you save us and port Bloodstained to the NDS?
I do not have those superpowers in my repertoire. I would love to be the hero that you want to save the day. But if you're talking NDS as in Nintendo DS, not 3DS, I don't think there's been a new Nintendo DS game in quite some time.
Right.
So if I think you can put possibility of that happening is pretty minuscule. I don't think the DS could hope to handle a game like Bloodstained. Yeah,
I think it's a lot to expect, but
yeah.
we do have the game coming to the 3DS, which is the prequel.
Right.
So we have that to look forward to if you've got a 3DS. Now Phil O'Donnell asks, how big of a burn do you think it is to Konami since they're circling the drain?
Circling the drain, that's an interesting way to describe it. You know, they obviously have a vision for what they want to do. You know, it's not my place to say if that's good or bad or anything like that. So, you know, they're them and they're going to do what they feel is best for them. And, you know, I guess we'll see, you know, that's what they're going to do. So, yeah.
Angling Sura Pradana asks, will there be a pachinko slot game for Bloodstained Ritual of the Night? And then they say they're just kidding. But go ahead.
I've heard there might be a one of those video poker machines. But we'll see.
God, I hope that's a joke. they said they're just kidding, and will there be a lot of secret rooms and contraptions and quirky weapons or item combos, or maybe even enemies that's possible to be missed on the first playthrough because they love that kind of thing?
Well, I mean, like I said, you know, this is going to be the biggest world that EGA's ever made, so don't be surprised if you miss some secrets along the way the first go.
Yeah, that's what I expect too. Okay, Vlad Tacos, love the name, by the way.
Yeah,
Vlad.
That's great.
Vlad Tacos asks, will the game contain some Easter eggs from the Castlevania series? And, well, we can't really answer that, can we? Because if they're Easter eggs, you're not supposed to know about them because they're hidden. And
precisely.
That's kind of the whole point.
It kind of takes the fun out of finding Easter eggs if you tell them where they are and what they're from. So when when Bloodstain comes out, you know, I will expect you daring explorers to look around and see what you can find.
All right. JJ Kondrich asks, what Michiru Yamane's favorite song on the OST? Just the title is fine, but we really don't have the OST developed to the point where we would be able to answer this, do we?
Yeah, I would imagine it's one of the ones that's already been done.
It's probably the title track that we have so far.
I would be I'd be honored if it was, you know, Ipo's track. You know, we did hear it, but I'm honestly not sure what her favorite track is.
Well, a lot of people really love her track, and I do too. I hope it's her favorite. Christopher Kiopolixi. I am murdering these names. Sorry, people. Is there a release date yet? And no, of course there's not, right? We're so early in development.
Yeah,
and
I apologize for the one-word answer, but yeah, that's unfortunately all I got.
Do we have maybe kind of a time window that we're shooting for? I know that it's been said they wanted to hit beta by E3 of next year.
Yeah, I mean, any timeline like that officially comes from us, you know, we'll obviously do our best to meet, so.
Okay. All right, David Sal asks, will there be vampires and werewolves?
I would say that's certainly possible. We'll see what EGA's monster repertoire produces. Those are two classic monster archetypes, so we'll see how those potentially make a home in the castle or not.
Yep, well, I am a big fan of vampires and werewolves, so I certainly hope we see some. Ian Collins asks, I heard that there will be an item creation feature built into the game. And yeah, you heard right. That sounds like something that was part of the Kickstarter. Ed, can you tell us anything about the item creation feature?
You know, I don't really have any more information than what the Kickstarter already does. Yeah, again, as the game gets further in development and these features are, you know, come to life, you know, we'll have more information on them then. But, yeah, absolutely. Like you said, you know, you talked about in the Kickstarter campaign that it will be there, so.
So, Jose Miguel Minya Garcia asks, have you decided on which actress to voice Miriam? Will it be a famous voice actress from or a TV actress? Yeah, so let's address those first.
We have not decided who that will be. As there will be a famous voice actress or TV actress, maybe. We've had famous voice actresses, like, you know, famous Japanese voice actresses work on Inti games in the past, so I would never rule that out. But as to who that amazing person will be, we will just have to see.
All right. They also want to know, will there be an underwater level, and how many endings? As far as endings, you know, no one wants spoilers, so we can avoid that one. But for underwater levels, that's been a curiosity from a few people, including myself.
I would say it's possible. Other EGA castles have had them, so we'll see how this new one comes together.
All right, Philip Vinogradov. I'm translating that from Russian, probably incorrectly. Sorry. They ask, will it be possible to play roguelike dungeons in classic mode? Which that was never said in the Kickstarter, but that certainly would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean,
don't know how possible that would be.
I'm not sure either, but it sounds neat.
yeah. Okay, Jose Carlos Garcia Diaz asks, when will we see the first gameplay video? What about the portable prequel?
Well, again, with stuff like that, it's basically, you know, when it is ready and, you know, the timing is right, we will absolutely have that together.
Okay, last question. Daniel Galen asks, will giving you more money the production go a little faster? They said, I don't mind giving more monies And also say hi to Igarashi for me, please, and thank you.
I'll do what I can, Daniel. But will it make production go faster? As amazing as that sounds, usually with Kickstarters, the more money you put at it, the more features you unlock, and thus the more work you have to do.
Right, and we unlocked all of them.
You guys have been absolutely incredible with the amount pledged to this game. So, but when you add that many things, that does not make the production go faster. It makes it go slower. However, you're getting so much cool stuff. Obviously, the more things you add, the more time it takes. Yeah, but
basically, what I'm seeing here is we still have money to give you guys. So give us a reason to.
Yeah, like we talked about earlier, there's the Slacker Backer option. So if you want some of those rewards that are still available, I would say make the most of it there.
All right, Matt. Well, I have kept you for quite a bit of time. I really appreciate your time.
It's all good.
Was there anything that you wanted to plug or wanted to talk about? I mean, you've got all of the Bloodstained people here ready to hear anything that you might want to ask us or talk
about.
Well,
I said it a million times and I'll say it once more that, when we started this campaign, I was at Twitch headquarters when we did the kickoff, live stream and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And it was just such an honor to be there and just to see, all this preparation, all this hard work that everybody did to get ready, and then everyone had their own expectations of what the first day would be like and what the total numbers and turnout would be, and
it was nothing
like we said at our PAX Prime panel, people like Iga and Aizu's predictions were so almost adorably humble.
Yeah.
And then, you guys came out and just completely just blew that out of the water. Like, it was amazing seeing. I felt so bad for the fan gamer folks who, because they were running the Kickstarter page, and, you guys were blowing through initial goals and stretch goals so fast.
Yeah, they couldn't write an update fast enough to keep up with what was
happening. They were so busy. I felt so bad.
It's a good problem to have, but...
Yeah, no, it's a great problem to have. Yeah, don't get me wrong, it's the best problem to have. And it was just, watching everybody just, work so hard, and I felt like the bad guy in the room, because I got the most sleep out of the whole group with a whopping 4 hours the night before.
Good lord.
And, everyone was running on pure adrenaline. It was great, though. It was such a good experience. And, when we were doing the countdown to the end live stream here at Inti, just seeing just how much the project had progressed over that month, and just the unbelievable amount of support for the project. It makes you want to, dig deeper than you ever thought you could to make the best result happen. And
yeah, it was cool, man, because I was watching that live. I was part of that with you, and a lot of other people were too.
Yeah, it was great. It was so fun to be a part of. And just thank you to everybody who made this possible. And for Inti, we are busier now than I think we ever have been. And and it's my job to make sure that, gamers around the world, not just in Japan, but everywhere, know who Inti Creates is and what we do. And games like Bloodstained, Mighty No. 9, and, that we've worked on with others have been, just such a pleasure to be a part of. And then, it's my goal to... turn Inti Creates hopefully into a household name at some point.
Yeah. Well, you're off to a great start with Gunvolt. It's a really cool looking game, and I've got to check that out personally. And if you guys knock this out of the park with Bloodstained, it's going to be great. I think you guys are on the road to success.
I certainly hope so. And we're gonna. I'm really, really excited for for getting Galgun out in the West. I cannot wait to see how fans perceive Galgun.
Well,
it's
about Galgun.
It's a very unique game.
It is. It's a very Japanese game.
Very, very Japanese game, and it's very, very unique. And
So how old are these schoolgirls? Just please tell me it's the later years of high school, because there's some shots that go on that are definitely panties are seen.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, no worries. You're good.
All right.
No worries.
Anyways, well, hey, is there any Kickstarters you wanted to plug or anything like that? Anything going on that you wanted to bring attention to?
Oh, man. Jeez. What's going on recently? It's been hard to keep up with everything being,
Well, Indivisible is still live, and Ben wanted us to plug that last time.
Yes, that is right. Yes, that is still live.
And they have not met their goal, but they're getting closer, and there's not a lot of time left. If you guys are listening to this...
They actually just announced that Shantae is going to be a part of that game.
Right, she's going to be a character that's going to show up in that.
We've worked on the Shantae series with WayForward and doing a lot of like character art and stuff for the recent Shantae games. And those guys, they're fantastic, fantastic people over there. So we're really excited. I'm really excited to see Shantae be a part of that project. So hopefully, with the addition of an awesome character like Shantae, they can get over that hump and, have clear sailing ahead. So, best of luck.
Yeah, I think they can make it, but it's definitely going to take some more backers. And then once they get past that point, they get some extra funding from an outside developer, much like Bloodstained did. So I really wish the best for them. And
yes, likewise.
So, Matt, I've kept you long enough. Thank you so much, man. You're such a cool guy.
Likewise, man.
It was a real pleasure getting to talk to you. So you take care of yourself.
You too, man. Anytime. It's been fun.
Thank you very much, Matt. We'll see you next time.
You got it, man.
Well, fellow Bloodstained fans, that about wraps up our show, but there are a few things I'd like to mention. We will not have a Kickstarter update for Bloodstained in November, but we will have two in December. That's when we should see those shaders. Azure Striker Gunvolt and Mighty Gunvolt are half off in the Nintendo Store and on Steam if you'd like to check those out. The Indivisible Indiegogo campaign is still alive, but needs your help if you'd be interested in seeing that project come to life. If you celebrate Thanksgiving, I hope you had a good one. I'm thankful for my family, friends, my enormous cat, the composers of the music featured in the show, and podcasts like Pixel Tunes Radio and Pixelated Audio. Thanks for listening, and hope to see you on the forums.